You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news, sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. I want to welcome you on this Veterans Day. And first, before we get started on Veterans Day, this is Black on Black Crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. On this program, columnist Goldie Taylor, that's MSNBC columnist Goldie Taylor, or contributor and columnist Goldie Taylor, versus Don Lemon. Of course, Don Lemon, who's made our Uncle Ruckus watch 2 billion times, said something, and Goldie Taylor wrote him a nice little piece in the griot, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to have a discussion with Boyce Watkins, his blog, that talked about dark and light skin. Yep, we're going through this again, but just want to discuss bringing up the topic and talking about it, and I want to ask if that is a black-on-black crime. We also have some news and information. You know, the Veterans of Color documentary came on TV One today. Just want to ask if anyone's gotten a chance to see that, and you can easily call in and let us know what you think about it. I'm sure they'll probably replay it, but it was a documentary special, Veterans of Color. And we also, in addition to that, have a clip. Now, I don't know if we're going to play the Arsenio Hall clip of Terry Crews, because he talked about the case of the Miami Dolphin player bullying someone else. So I might play the Terry Crews one, or we might go to the comedy of George Wallace. But we're playing some Arsenio today, just giving you a clip to check out Arsenio Hall's show. It's my public service to Arsenio, because I think it's a great show. But again, we have that, the world of news and entertainment, a bunch of information on this program. And remember, you can send your comments to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com and join our Facebook page at BOBC Show. That's on Facebook. Now, last week's show, Freeway Rick Ross versus Sean Carter, Freeway Rick Ross made some comments about Sean Carter's comments about Barney's and all of that controversy. We had Pebbles, or Perry Pebbles Reed, versus the Crazy Sexy Cool TLC story on VH1. We also discussed the real story, the movie 12 Years a Slave, which is out and is still doing pretty well. So we'll talk about that and more. But I just want to welcome you again to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. And I just want to welcome you aboard and thank all the listeners for tuning in every week. We're getting really great response to the show. If you haven't checked out Esprit News on Esprit Radio, check us out. We're every Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern. We definitely get a lot of our news information from Esprit News, the show that's on during the week. We are going to start off this show with some news and information in honor of Veterans Day. TV One announced an award-winning documentary, Veterans of Color, to air on that network. Now, the hour-long documentary explores the untold stories of African-American men and women who served in all branches of the U.S. military. These remarkable men and women were amongst those who stormed the beaches of Normandy, flew as Tuskegee Airmen, and served during the Korean and Vietnam Wars. Through personal interviews, the Veterans of Color uses 31 individual experiences and culminates them into one overall message of self-sacrifice and determination to fight for the Liberties of All. So if you get a chance to check that out, again, I don't know when they're replaying it, but it's called The Veterans of Color. It is a documentary, and I think it's on DVD, so you might be able to get it if you missed it. And on this Veterans Day, this is my grandfather's birthday, who's passed away. So in honor of my grandfather, I would like to say happy birthday in passing of my Uncle Alan Esprey, who is also a veteran, and Mr. Sims, the father of Kai Sims, is also a veteran, and Al Payne, and all the great veterans who have passed and those who are living. Just wanted to make sure I shout them out. And Low-Key, I don't know if Low-Key is joining us, but Low-Key is a veteran, so we want to make sure we acknowledge the work of our veterans. President Barack Obama had a candid moment with NBA legend Bill Russell following the unveiling of his statue in the city of Boston. Bill Russell played 13 seasons with the Boston Celtics and won a record 11 titles. The Hall of Famer is the first African-American to be honored with his own statue in the city limits of Boston. Just wanted to make that history note on top of that. Russell, who turns 80 this coming February, was joined by NBA greats Julius Erving and Charles Barkley at the unveiling, but the president got an early view of the statue in the week before the unveiling. He was also the first to suggest that Bill Russell needed a statue when he presented him with the Medal of Freedom back in 2011. So the president suggested it. We're glad to see that it came out, and Bill Russell is honored with his own statue in Boston. So congratulations to Bill Russell, and I'm glad to see that that happened. Savannah Brunson James, the new wife of NBA star LeBron James, has decided to become an entrepreneur. Now, the young woman has just opened a business venture in Miami called The Juice Spot, which she hopes to be a successful juice bar. Now, she reportedly lost a great deal of weight in preparation for her wedding this summer and is seeking to pass her healthy habits to anyone who might be interested. Now, NBA spouse Jada Paul, who is the wife of Marcus Paul. I had to say that because I'm kind of – Marcus Paul played football. No. Chris Paul – State Farm commercial, the wife of Chris Paul, she tweeted her support for Savannah Brunson James. I don't know if she goes by that, but she tweeted her support. She just said, at the juice spot, couldn't come to Miami and not check the place out. So proud of my girl, Miss Savannah RJ, for this, supporting and encouraging others to live a healthy lifestyle. She makes a bomb PB banana and chocolate protein smoothie too, a great post-workout boost. So that was from Chris Paul's wife, Jada Paul. And I don't know about a PB banana and chocolate protein, but for those who like protein shakes, I guess it's pretty good. So I wanted to share that with Savannah Brunson. And coming up, by the way, the season premiere of the successful VH1 Single Ladies is set to launch an e-book series in anticipation of its third series. Now, the ladies are set to return with the season premiere on January 6th, but a special e-book series written by Ashley Antoinette will be released between the season's 2 finale and season's 3 premiere. Now, the movie 12 Years a Slave, the film opened up in more theaters this weekend, playing at over 1,000 screens, and it came in 7th place with over $17 million to date. 12 Years a Slave, Fruitvale Station are IFP Gotham Audience nominees, so you can vote for these awards. And you know it's award season, so they are coming up on kind of just being honored. And I know there was a lot of positive feedback about Fruitvale Station. Our own Daniel actually reviewed Fruitvale Station, so we have to give it up. Go check them out. I know that's probably not out on DVD and all that stuff yet, but Fruitvale Station and 12 Years a Slave look like they're going to be big winners on this particular award season. Now, I want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can call in. Chat room is now open. You know, sometimes I'm a little late on that. And if you are online and you want to check us out, like our Facebook page, BOBC Show on Facebook if you want to go in and like the page. We'll start manning that at some point, or write us at bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. You know, our main topic today is Goldie Taylor, contributor to MSNBC and columnist Goldie Taylor, and our Uncle Ruckus, Don Lemon. It's versus him. Don Lemon made some comments on the stop and frisk. He said it isn't effective no matter what you call it. Goldie Taylor sent out a message to Don Lemon, so we're going to talk about that today. And we also have a discussion of an article by Dr. Boyce Watkins. Does being light-skinned, is what he wrote, or white make a bad woman appear to be a good woman? That was his question. So I am asking, is that just a black-on-black crime to keep having this conversation? It just seems like some people are having it just for sake of it. So we're asking that. We also have a clip, or a couple of Arsenio Hall clips. I don't know which one I'm going to play, but Terry Crews talked about the bullying in the NFL with the Miami Dolphin player leaving the team. He has some interesting things to say about it. So I thought it might be something interesting that we want to address on this program. Not that we're addressing bullying per se, but we do want to address that Terry Crews, who played in the NFL for a little bit, actually came out and said, told his bullying stories about how he was bullied. So I won't guess tell you all of what Terry Crews was talking about, but we'll bring you back in with that. So I just want to put those out there and give you some more news and information later on in the show. Have a bunch lined up as well. So stay, sit back and relax. We have more of Black on Black Crime on S3 Radio. Remember, you can call in. That's area code 909-265-9189 to join the program. Just hit one on your line. I see you all there on the line, so if you want to join in, feel free, hit one on your line, we'll bring you in. We're going to take a quick break and step out for a second and come back in with more Black on Black Crime.
Incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime on S3 Radio. I'm your host, Jerome. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, on this show, our main topics, Goldie, MSNBC contributor and columnist, Goldie Taylor versus Don Lemon, or our Uncle Ruckus Award winner, Don Lemon. We have a discussion about Dr. Boyce Watkins and his bringing up some dark light skin stuff. And we also, you know, kind of wanted to plug the Veterans of Color documentary that's on TV1. We don't know when the next time is coming on, but we know it's today, so they'll replay it a little bit. So keep your eyes open for it on this Veterans Day. I want to welcome you again back to the program. If you're on the line, you know, just hit 1 if you want to come in. But before we go into any of those topics, you know, I was watching something, a program about history and how we're programmed and all of this other stuff, and we're talking about fairy tales and how they leave impacts on us as people of color around the world. Like, most fairy tales are actually pretty negative, but I want to give you an African folktale, The Man That Never Lied. Now, you can tell your kids this. You can use this whenever you want, but just wanted to share this. All right. Once upon a time, there lived a wise man by the name of Mahmud, and he never lied. All the people in the land, even the ones who lived 20 days away, knew about him. Now, the king heard about Mahmud and ordered his subjects to bring him to the palace. He looked at the wise man and asked, "Mahmud, is it true that you never lie?" So he responded, "It's true." And then the king said, "And you will never lie in your life." And he responded, "I'm sure in that." So the king said, "Okay, tell the truth, but be careful. The lie is cunning and gets on your tongue easily." So several days passed, and the king called them back once again. There was a big crowd, and the king was about to go hunting. The king held his horse by the mane, and his left foot was already in the stirrup. He ordered Mahmud, he said, "Go to my summer palace, tell the queen I will be with her for lunch. Tell her to prepare a big feast. You will have lunch with me then." And Mahmud bowed down and went to the queen to deliver the message. Then the king laughed and said, "We won't go hunting." And now Mahmud would lie to the queen. I know, it sounds like a mean story. "So tomorrow we will laugh on his behalf." So he intentionally is trying to get him to lie to the queen. So he said, but the wise man went to the palace and said, "Maybe you should prepare a big feast for tomorrow. And maybe you shouldn't. Maybe the king will come by noon. Maybe he won't." So the queen said, "Tell me, will he come or won't he?" asked the queen. He said, "I don't know whether he put his right foot in the stirrup and put his left foot on the ground after I left." Everybody waited for the king. He came the next day and said to the queen, "The wise Muhammad never lies. He lied to you yesterday." But the queen told him about the words of Mahmud, and the king realized that a wise man never lies and says only that which he saw in his own eyes. All right, so the moral of the story is, yes, he didn't tell him what the king said. He told him what he saw, and he just wouldn't lie on his behalf. So that is an old African story about lying. So just in case you need to know, you don't have to be caught up in saying, "This person told me that, so I repeated it." Don't repeat what other people tell you. Just report what you say, what you see. That is the moral of the story. All right, just thought I'd share that with you. I want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. Today's topic is MSNBC contributor Goldie Taylor versus Don Lemon. But we're going to start the discussion with Dr. Boyce Watkins. Now, on his blog, he asked the question, "Does being light-skinned or white makes a bad woman appear to be a good one?" Now, this is the title of the article. So Boyce Watkins wrote the article on his blog and asked that question. He starts off by saying he received the question from someone writing it on his social media page. The person asked if dark-skinned women are frowned upon and added that she has a daughter with dark skin and she was concerned with all the male celebrities who seem to think that lighter is better. Although she asked if it was frowned upon, Boyce Watkins turned that to mean, does light skin or white make women appear to be bad or good? I don't know how he got that from her question, but she also made an interesting point about men who will pass over intelligent, high-quality black women for lighter skin or white women who don't bring nearly as much to the table. In the article, she said, one shining example. Now, I'm not going to commit a black-on-black crime, so you're going to have to read into this. I'll just give initials. One shining example may be KW, the son of a brilliant black female professor who chose to marry an untalented, twice-divorced reality TV star who got her start with a sex tape. In addition to those statements, the article listed black actors, musicians, comedians, and actors who have wives or girlfriends who have a light complexion or are Caucasian. Now, I'm asking, do you think that is a black-on-black crime? Because you shouldn't be calling people out. If you fall in love with somebody, you fall in love with them. But he turned this conversation and put one up against the other. So I'll start off by saying in a very simplistic way that writing this article is a black-on-black crime. And here's why. If Dr. Boyce feels like doing any justice to someone even asking a question, who knows if somebody has a light complexion or white? How can you say they could have dated somebody who's smarter than them? You don't know if you're smart because of your complexion one way or another. And I think just having a conversation goes back to the divide and conquer of arguing over petty things. So I'm going to throw, well, I'm not going to even throw a flag on this. I'm just going to say, Butch Watkins, even for writing this and suggesting and merely just bringing up the question, I'm going to go with this one is a black-on-black crime. That is just me. But if you disagree for everyone on the line, I'm not going to bring you in until you're ready, but if you hit one on your line, tell me if it's a black-on-black crime or not. Is the conversation a black-on-black crime, just having it? Oh, and by the way, Watkins did ask, does black America have a color complex? Let's bring in Kai. Let's see what Kai's up to. How you doing, Kai?
How are you?
Hello.
Good. How are you?
Happy Monday and Veterans Day to all those
know
you know, related to, or can think of that are veterans.
I started the show off and giving respect to Mr. Sims and my uncle and all those veterans who have passed
mm-hmm.
as well. So, you know, it is Veterans Day, so
mm-hmm.
we have to kind of speak to our ancestors a little bit on Veterans Day.
You know
Day.
What? It did not rain today in Georgia.
Man, that's my first time in a while.
I was like, yeah. I was like, wow, happy Veterans Day. It was a beautiful
yeah.
fall day and 70 degrees, close to 70 degrees. So it is
Man.
A special day today.
I just want to remind everyone, you listen to Black on Black Crime. You know, hit one on your line if you want to join in. Let's go to our lines. We have a call from area code 410. Welcome to Black on Black Crime. Let's see who this is.
You better put a mute button on me because I've come to act a fool this Veterans Day.
Oh, my gosh. Finesse threw me with this one. Okay. Why are you coming to act a fool now? What happened? Was it the technical difficulties that threw you? Or was it the Dr. Boy story? Which one was it?
The bomb. You know he gets no love.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss
yeah.
the Dr. Boy story. Hey, Finesse.
Now,
hi, Kai. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy Veterans
right.
Day.
I'm the doctor.
I'm trying to be
boy,
careful because he waiting for me to say something so he can put me on mute.
No, I'm not. I'm not sensitive. Kai can mute you now. Notice how she won't hear you. She can tune it out now. Kai's good. So we had a discussion early on, Kai, about Dr. Boyce Watkins. He wrote an article, and he just said, I'm just asking a question. The title was, does being light-skinned or white make bad women appear to be good women? And so then in the article later on, they started listing black actors, athletes, and comedians, and musicians who have light skin or white wives. They are wrong for that. So I just flat out said, that's a black-on-black crime. I'll let Finesse go first.
Yeah, what is, wow.
That
I'll
just
let
seems
Kai
madness.
Know, there's no need for me to respond to that because that's just stupid.
That was just stupid. Okay, Kai.
I'm wondering what inspired that, but yeah, Dr. Watkins, I need him to go sit in the corner.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying because of the blog, right? He has this blog, and
right.
I guess they have to be a little controversial, but they
right.
don't have to go that far. Self-hate is just...
Right. I mean, and we're already separated enough. Why would you, you know, what was the purpose of that? What did they say? If you're one-eighth octoroon blood and you're black anyway, so... you're black, light, dark, in the middle.
Yeah, let it go.
But you know, that's minimizing people who really love their spouses. What difference does it make if they're black or white or light-skinned? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All they have to do is ask your nearest police officer if you're black.
And that is my point of saying, why are you bringing this up? Like, why are you stirring that up when it's just that unnecessary? And now you're putting light-skinned black folks in with white folks. Like, you're really trying to divide them for color.
Right.
And
I wonder
speaking
what
of that,
good grief.
Well, he says that someone wrote on his blog and asked him a question, and the question said on his social media page said that a person asked if dark-skinned women were frowned upon, and the person who wrote it said that she had a dark-skinned daughter, and she was concerned about male celebrities and everyone thinking that lighter is better. She said, do they pass over intelligent, highly qualified black women for lighter skin or white women?
You know, and it's interesting.
We're
because,
all stomped, right?
Yeah, because there are, you know, there's, I mean, there's no secret that people of darker skin are treated unfairly in the business. But to start naming names of spouses and, I mean, really?
Yeah, that's
on a whole different level. Yeah, that's crossing the line.
That did cross the line. Now, I don't want to bring up our award-winning, Your Black World award-winning nominee, Finesse, on this one, but, Finesse, you can opt out of
this
if you want.
I'm not going to opt out of it. He's a fool. Dr. Boyce Watkins, you're a fool and an idiot. That's a stupid idiotic conversation to have. Your blog doesn't have to be full of junk. And to write something like that is ridiculous. You know better. Yes, you know better. And I will tell it to your face the next time I see you.
You know, I won't because I won't see you. Well, I've never seen him. And he's here, you know, and we've been on other programs at the same time. And I don't address them, but I don't have a lot of respect for some of the things that he said and that he's written. But I don't know if he's doing that on purpose. I don't know if he is trying to be controversial. I mean, it's not really looking
like,
at good
on him. It sounds like he is, like he's trying to get a reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, now, after all the things that he said, he also has another article that he wrote, that he co-wrote with someone, that asked the question, should Don Lemon be fired from CNN, or 8 reasons why Don Lemon needs to be fired from CNN right now. This fool goes on Fox and CNN, and he's talking about Don Lemon, which I'm going to talk about Don Lemon, but I'm saying for him to even ask the question of why.
Well, why is he saying Don Lemon should be fired? Why are we mad at Don Lemon?
Because you can't. They don't want all these. They don't see. They all want money, so they can't have another a black shucking and jiving on another network. They need to have all the attention to themselves.
Yeah.
So they trying to get
he
rid
wants
of each
to
other.
Be the only shucking and driving black person on media.
Exactly.
I think I think that's what it is. Yeah. I want to remind everyone, you listen to Black on Black Crime, and we're talking about Boyce Watkins and his – we're just having a discussion about an article that he wrote on his blog about light complexion, dark complexion, white women kind of stuff, some old story that he's bringing up. And then he bashed Don Lemon, who he acts like, which is interesting. So that brings us to our next topic, which is MSNBC contributor Goldie Taylor. Are you guys familiar with her, Finesse? I'm sure you know her, right?
Nope.
She was a reporter for, maybe it was in New Orleans, and then she was an editor of a magazine, and she's also a columnist. She wrote a column for The Griot, but I watch her all the time on MSNBC. She is a contributor on everyone's program, from Martin Brashear to Lawrence O'Donnell. She's just kind of been on all of them. And Don Lemon wrote this article. He wrote something about stop and frisk, or he talked on Tom Joyner's show about the stop and frisk, and he said it's ineffective no matter what you call it. So columnist and this MSNBC contributor, Goldie Taylor, addressed his commentary. She said in her recent column on The Griot that he was misinformed. She just said, dear Don Lemon, I know Finesse doesn't like any kind of open
letter. Another open
kind
letter.
Of
God.
Well, she just kind of wrote
how many
it.
Open letters?
Her,
thank you, Kai.
Wait,
thank
but
you.
It's just her
thank
column.
You.
She's not she's not writing an open letter. She wrote it like she was writing a letter. She just said, dear Don Lemon, like that was her column. But the way it's written, it's not an open letter. I just want to say that. But she said, I know we've
wrote,
had our
if
differences.
Wrote dear, if she wrote dear, it's an open letter.
And put a colon after the name?
That is a shame.
It's an open letter.
That is a shame that you can't bend your mind around somebody saying dear somebody first.
Nope.
So
that ain't how you write a column. I'm a columnist. That's not how you write a column.
Okay, I'm going to rephrase her column by saying Don Lemon. She's not going to say dear first. But she said, Don Lemon, I know we've had our differences, and I'm probably not the sister that you want to hear from right now. I did, after all, unleash a torrid of tweets lambasting you for your hurtful, tragic, simplistic, condescending approach to pervasive poverty, largely concentrated on our nation's urban centers. You focus on litter, for instance, when you should be talking about the environmental justice. So she said, maybe I'm wrong. It's quite possible that your recent antics are planned, and maybe you like it when people call your name. So according to your commentary, you seem to support stop and frisk as a legitimate community policing method. If only people really understood that it's actually stop, question, and frisk is what Don Lemon said. It's a minor inconvenience after all, right? After a few questions, get a quick pat down, you're on your way. If we only understood, is what he said, that this affront to human rights is actually protecting the black community from itself. That's what Don Lemon said. So here's what she's responding to. Now, she said, I wonder what's going through your mind back in 2001 when a plainclothes security guard accosted you outside a record store. You were a local general assignment reporter back then and had made your mark nationally. It must have been quite a shock to have been unfairly accused of stealing a compact disc player. According to the press reports, he pushed you into traffic and when you tried to get in your car. And when the police came, even though you called them for help, you were told to shut up and sit in your car. That is until a second officer recognized you. And by your current logic, they were all just doing their job. And back then, you saw things differently. And I can't say that I disagree with the old Don Lemon, but you felt so strongly to protect your rights. You sued Tower Records for $50,000 because of that policy. So just wanted to sit out the contradictions out there.
And that's even more of an open letter than I thought. Yes.
Well, you can call it what you want, but let's deal with the substance before you jump on the open letter. I just want to say,
this happened in Atlanta with him, or where did this happen when he was?
That was in New York when Tower Records was in New York.
Yeah.
Tower Records is all over the place. That happened in New York.
Yeah. So he sued them for $50,000.
But my thing to her is she went digging for something to bring that up. Golly.
She's a reporter.
Ago.
But she's a reporter, so she has to deal in facts, right? And so her issue was, she was saying, you're talking about stop and frisk is legitimate because it's protecting them from themselves. And so you don't realize that when you start acting like that, and this is crazy to me, that black folks think black people are crazy. When black people think black people are crazy, I honestly believe that they are the crazy ones for thinking that. Because all you're doing is giving permission for oppression to happen to black people across the board. So she had to give you an example to say, here's what happened to you. Get over it.
Right. It's kind of have you forgotten what happened to you? You know.
That's what
right.
To use facts.
I like everything about it except for she put it in an open letter. Just use the facts. Write the story. Don't what happens is when you single it out to one person, I would have never read. I bypassed that. I saw that and I saw that. So I was like, oh, Lord, no, open letter, and I bypassed it. So my thing is, it's great her point, but don't do an open letter. I think she would accomplish more had she just did it as an article in response to.
Right.
But don't do it as a deer where you target just the one person because people look at that, well, I do. And it's like, y'all going back and forth in the media, and it's stupid.
Well, and that was going to be my question. Did he respond to it, or...
No, but I think I look at it like this. That is a commentary style now. Everybody says that they're doing an open letter. Like when
it's
you don't
sign,
know somebody, you're like kind of like doing a point counterpoint of if this person was right here, I would tell them. So I'm thinking I'm thinking that it's just kind of a style of how people are communicating.
Right.
So maybe she might be trying to relate to a different audience because it's the griot that she wrote it on. And I know she's on NBC, and she's on other major media. She's been in this game for a long time.
The light skin lady with the braids?
Mm.
Or am I thinking
you said,
of
who is she? Melissa Harris Perry?
Does she have braids in her hair?
I don't know if Melissa. Yeah, I don't think she does anymore.
Okay.
You're talking about Melissa Harris Perry, right?
Because
Goldie Taylor never had braids in her hair. She has her hair cut short now, though. But she's about
just because
she probably.
And listen, just because you've been in the game long don't mean it's right. Look at Don. He did some ridiculous things of late. I just think you alienate readers who may read. Like, you read it, okay, and I said, you know what? She does have some points. Just don't put it in a freaking stupid letter form.
If I would have skipped the Dear Don Lemon, you would have been okay.
Exactly.
Because the Dear Don Lemon put it in a certain context for you. Is that what you're saying?
It does.
Kind of seems like, I guess, you're chastising when you're saying, dear so-and-so, whereas opposed to when you're writing it in just like an open forum, it's kind of like you're informing someone, this is the situation, you know,
exactly.
This is what happened then. Okay, yeah, I kind of get it, yeah.
Okay, and so, okay, and what I'm getting from this, too, is that, you know how, you know, and we don't want to go back to our last story, Dr. Boyce, they did their 8 points on why Don Lemon should be fired kind of thing. She's not saying that. She's just saying, in her case, she's saying you should know better is all it says.
Right.
Goldie is kind of in a maternal way. I mean, she's old enough. I don't want to call her old but because, you know, that's just kind of
mature.
Rude. And Goldie is pretty, so it's not like she has issues of me calling her the bitter lady or something. She's not that.
Right.
What happens is that she felt the only way to address the young kid is to kind of speak in a way that she's watching bloggers speak because she's an old-school reporter.
Right. So it's kind of like her pulling them to the side, like, let me pull your coattails. Come here, let me holler.
Right, in a way that you can hear me.
Right.
Okay, and then with that, that goes to my point, what I always say about these open letters. Call the MF up and be like, look, blase, blase. Nope. Or I would prefer if you went on their page, and when you see the comment section, comment. They're going to see it.
They're
going to see it.
I just don't
like open letters.
How would he have received that if she had called him up? How do you think?
If she had called him up and then he acted funny and then said something, then she could put out, look, this is what I said to this fool.
I'm going to take a zero on that because even if I had access, and I probably do, even if I had access to talk to Don Lemon, I wouldn't talk to that fool. You cannot change everybody's opinion. The people who are trying to hurt you are trying to hurt you. Get over it, people.
I don't think you're changing everybody.
You know what I mean?
I don't think you wouldn't change them, but I know you. You would check them.
He better not cross my path for that. It's not like I reach out for that, right? We're doing a public service by having this conversation on the radio. So we are bringing up the issues. So I have a forum. I can write a column, you know, and I'm on radio or can do other venues that I can make statements. But what I'm saying is that is kind of harmful to us to not say anything. We can't let stuff like that go unchecked because we are still justifying folks oppressing us in a bad way. And early on in the show, and I just want to say hey again to Lavinia in the chat room, but early on in the show, I did an old African fairy tale because I started studying all of these things about European fairy tales that condition us to look at the world in a European way. So on the show, I do one African folktale. Just in this one, on this show, if you want to go back and check in the archives, this one is about the man who told no lies. And it's just we talk about how we're conditioned to look at the world like we are. And Don Lemon is a victim of absorbing a European way of thinking. That is not critical thinking beating down black folks because you're not beating down white folks at the same time. He's the black guy who's talking about black people.
But what I mean by checking, I know you. You would have called if you had his number, and he said whatever. You would have called him and like, "Yo, fool, you can't say stuff like that." Sort of like what you do me. That's what I mean by checking him. Do that before you do the open letter.
He did say, "You better not cross my path." So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So you're gonna check him and hold him accountable. I have no problems with that. But when people just write these open letters. And what she wrote out of everything we talked about as far as open letters, I would give her a pass because of what she said and she had proof and facts and blase, blase. Everybody else, no. I don't give nobody no pass. Stop writing open letters. Stop using emails. Stop doing it.
Have a sit down.
Hey, don't nobody need to have no beer with nobody. I'm tired of all of that. It's like we're going to sit down and talk like we're going to squash it. If your butt is crazy, identify yourself. That's all I say to you, right? You don't like black people,
right.
Identify yourself. I'm not wasting my time
right.
trying to sit there and say, come on, how come you don't see the world like this? Come get some. That's all I'm saying. Put your foot on the side that you want to be on and let it go. So if you're going to do that,
come see me at 2513 North Charles Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21218. Come see me.
That.
That's your open letter. My office is in the back. Come see me. 2513 North Charles, Baltimore, Maryland. Come
Since
see
I'm not
me.
Muting him, I will take this out in the archives. But all I'm saying is don't go see nobody. Right? Because you're asking
me.
For a world. You're asking for a world of problems. Right? Here's a lesson I learned a long time ago. Right? And I'm going to tell you that I was, as a child, probably a little bit more reactionary than I am rational. Like, there's a thing about, and matter of fact, Kai, I was just talking to your brother about this earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Someone at Nottingham High School committed suicide. Somebody who we know, his son, ninth grade,
really?
Committed suicide at Nottingham High School. Vanessa's old school, right? You went to
mm-hmm.
Nottingham. And
yeah,
the kid
school.
Was in a ninth grade.
Oh,
ninth grade
God.
Felt bullied. The problem is we have people who are cowards just picking on people because they're shorter and whatever. Sometimes you don't get over that because the popular kids are mean kids now because they're more selfish. And
right.
what happens is with us, I remember high school, and I remember stopping fights all the time and go, shut up and sit down, because the people with the muscle were nice people. So we believed
right.
in our high school that everybody was harmonious. That was not true. What happened was the people
right.
with the muscle
right.
was using their muscle to stop all that nonsense,
right?
Right,
and you know, it's sad because it's becoming an epidemic that, I mean, you have suicide rates among teens, but you know, back in the day, you never heard of people of color committing suicide, especially men.
Right.
Especially young
right.
black men. And now it's become
right.
this epidemic that, you know, what is going on? And this is something I think I want to read some more on and probably write an article about this. What is going on in our society now that it's become so common, because it's a worldwide problem, but what is going on that our young black men think that there's no other way out but to kill themselves, just to end it all? Are we not hugging them enough
well,
or validating them enough or... Is it a role model? What is it
okay.
that makes it so easy now, you know?
All right, well,
it happens a lot down here. It's very disturbing.
Yeah. I think black kids are acting like white kids. The issue of seriousness about people, again, when we were little, if somebody didn't like you and they didn't talk to you, good for them. We never
You're
went off in
so
corners
scared.
And said stuff
right.
like, we need to be in with the in crowd. But I remember when we were little, the kids who were non-minorities, that was big for them. You know, the reason that we were actually cool in school is because we, as minorities, talked to everybody. So white kids were like, we had a really nice school. They didn't feel alienated because we didn't care if they grew up in the valley or on a hill, but white folks actually had
right.
that
if
conflict.
If they were cool, they were cool. Right. If they weren't cool, they weren't cool. It didn't matter what color they were. It's either you were cool or you weren't cool, you know?
Go ahead.
I'm trying not to get into this because I know I'm going to say something politically incorrect.
incorrect.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because I just have my personal thoughts.
Before I turn the show back over to Black on Black Crime,
sorry,
you guys have a moment. I have to let you have a moment with that stuff because I did bring it up, and there's a problem with schools. And the bigger point of schools is that you just can't pass students on without teaching them. So in the lack of having people have, you know, disciplinary control over folks like they used to, or bringing in minority teachers or whatever the issues
right.
are in society now, we always talk about the symptoms opposed to the problem. So just like childhood obesity, we were so concerned about high test scores so nobody gets gym and nobody gets recess. And we have to cut back on school lunches, so we have to give them the high processed food stuff. And now we're concerned about, everybody's sitting in front of the TV with a dog on video game and everybody gaining weight. But we're not seeing how we're contributing to that as a society. So technically, I am not even going in on a school system because they have their own – we have societal problems that we need to deal with when it comes down to it. I was just making the point that you can create a climate that can cause people to do some things that you don't foresee. And even with this Don Lemon whole concept of this is a stop and question, they can pat you down and then you'll go on about your way. If you looked at the 19-year-old girl who just got shot in Detroit from walking up on somebody's porch, knocking on the door because she had a car accident and they didn't arrest the white guy that did that, then you would not ask the question, why is the climate so bad for black people? Don Lemon adds to that when it really comes down to it. Now, before I go in,
really believe that. That's just shocking to me.
Yes. Let me bring on Lavinia. She's been waiting for a while on this Don Lemon thing. And I know she said she mentioned Goldie Taylor in the chat room, but we're going to bring on Lavinia. How you doing, Lavinia?
Well, good evening, Jerome, Ty, and Finesse. How y'all
doing? Hey, Lavinia. Good. How you doing?
Hey, Lavinia.
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, I love Goldie. I follow her on Twitter, and she just gives lessons all day. Pulls some for her constantly, and she's putting out fires, shutting people down left and right, and she lit Don Lemon up. She don't care. I think she just finally got tired of him.
Yeah.
You know, and then Black Twitter went in on him, too. So, yeah, it was pretty ugly.
Went in on the Trayvon Martin. I didn't even talk about Goldie Taylor when she – you know, came to MSNBC with the hood on, and she was just going, like, she will light it up when it's time for her to light it up. So, again, she's been in the game long enough that she doesn't even have to hold her tongue. So I have to give a lot of respect to her. I know you said in chat room that that was not a black-on-black crime. I do not think it's a black-on-black crime either for her to
say. Not when he keeps putting himself out there like that. Like, you know, if it just happened maybe just once. But he say coming on and minimizing the black experience by just saying, okay, well, you know, at least it's keeping everybody safe. Well, keeping who? If you get the shakedown and now, you know, whoever this kid is, who, you know, the one sister who bought the $2,500 bag, right? She got caught up, like, blocks down the road at the subway station. So, you know, what happened there? How is that safe for her? The young man that bought the belt for $300. Now, if you got some undercovers who roll up on and talk about where'd you get that and where you get the money, how would that have turned out for him if he turned around and cold cocked somebody in the mouth out of reaction? Then they would have shot him, and then what do we have? Supposed justified killing because he assaulted
because
police
he shouldn't
officer.
Have said nothing. Because he shouldn't have said nothing to police officer. That was my
point. I would
point.
Be in
it's
a
like
world of trouble then.
Right. You can't create a climate that allows people to harass your folks and then say, well, you should have acted like this. Can't remember his name. Colin Powell said that with Professor Henry Gates. And he said, well, if Skip would have just talked to them, he could have dealt with them later. He was in his own house. So we can't keep smoothing this over by trying to pacify people, especially not on this program. By the way, you listen to Black on Black Crime. We don't pacify on black crime, especially Finesse. Finesse don't pacify either. I didn't want to throw him out there, but none of us pacify on black crime. Now, we have an Internet comment about this, and the Internet comment says, the elite-owned media is inherently racist on so many other vile negatives. Those who work in those venues are not to be listened to or trusted. He's talking about Don Lemon, by the way. That there's an ongoing strategy which is meant to denigrate the African-American or other blacks or people of color, their experience. They said it has been going on ever since the emancipation. And so the point is that Don Lemon is on TV bashing black folks, and CNN is going to keep him there just like Fox would keep him there, just like any other news agency would be, because they think that this is healthy conversation for us to have this kind of division where we keep having these internal fights about race and color.
Right. And it's interesting you said that because that was going to be my question. Do you think that he really believes what he's saying, or he's saying that to accommodate the people who he answers to?
I believe he believes it.
You think you, okay, wait a minute, let's go around the table. Lavinia, you said, what did you say?
I think he's bought into it. I think that he has somehow in his mind set himself apart from those black people. So he feel like he's talking to a group of people that he is somehow not even connected to. Like he's some sort of standard of black that, you know, on that so many haven't reached to the level that he's at, that he's able to be so condescending and talk down to. So, yeah, he believes he's trying to teach some people some things.
So he's in the house, and they're still in the field.
Yeah, you said it, not me.
Okay, Finesse.
I think Don Lemon has brought into the theory that white is right, and he thinks he's light, and he's right.
And get it right, and get it right.
And Goldie Taylor, right. Goldie Taylor did say that. Maybe he's doing that to keep his name out there. So, Kai, do you think that he's doing it just to be?
I hope not.
Yeah.
You know, I
yeah, that's because you're nice.
It's kind of scary. Well, I hope that he really doesn't truly believe that it's okay to stop and frisk people, and we're that dangerous to each other. I really hope he doesn't. He's not that naive, because there's a lot of people listening to him. But then the trouble is, if he really doesn't believe that, how much are you willing? How much of your soul are you willing to sell to keep your job? So it's troubling both ways.
You could think. I think some people enjoy living there, and I can name people. I'm not going to commit a black on black crime today by naming them, but it's why we have Uncle Ruckus watch it to begin with. There are people who live there, and so you know, finishing
up
with
Yeah, they had a radio show. They had a radio show and TV show for a little bit until they got canceled by PBS. Ain't that right, Tavis and Cornell?
I was going to do that story, and I said, nope. I bashed them too much on this program for Uncle Ruckus Watch, and I would not do that story that they got canceled. It was like the Amos and Andy show. Like they, just the way they kind of did it, it was funny. I never heard the show, but I'm just saying how the advertisement was for it. It just seemed like it's Cornell West and Tavis, you know. But anyway, now Goldie Taylor said, given what happened to you over a decade ago, you couldn't possibly believe that black men and boys in this country have somehow forfeited their civil liberties based on where they live or the clothes on their back. You couldn't possibly believe that our justice system has the right to effectively exempt young black men from equal protection from the Equal Protection Clause. You couldn't possibly believe that probable cause should not be just as important in the Marcy Housing Projects as in Park Slope. You couldn't possibly believe that. So Goldie actually ended on your note, Kai, saying this can't be true that you actually believe the stuff that you're saying. So she's giving an out. Maybe maybe Don Lemon is being held hostage and we might need to help that brother out.
Maybe we're looking at this wrong.
We've
got to have a sit down.
Okay.
Say, Don, are they
holding we need to have a drop zone. 2513 North Charles Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21218.
Yeah. Help me, please. Help me.
Absolutely being held hostage because something doesn't sound right.
Yeah. He looks like he's like in the back of somebody's car going, help me, because he does really look crazy right now. I'm sure BET will hire him, or TV1, or somebody. He gets fired from CNN.
No, they won't.
One of the blacks.
To hire who?
They'll hire Don Lemon.
No, yeah. He won't get a job with
us. You don't think so?
He won't get a job with us. No.
No.
Mm-mm. No.
You don't think he'll leave Lavinia?
He went. No.
Sorry. You know what? He doesn't have the respect. I don't think he has the respect from black people to be hired on there. Not at all.
Right. I don't think those uppity black folks care too much for him. So I don't think he would get
like
that type of job.
And that'd be like for them to offer Bill Cosby a job to come on and do his bit. Like,
what was the name of the guy that had the TV show on BET that got canceled?
Who did?
He had a talk show
on BET. He got and they canceled the show. Was it TJ?
Oh, TJ Holmes.
TJ Holmes.
Okay.
Oh,
TJ Holmes and Don Lemon are kind of the same. They won't, and you see how that worked out for TJ.
TJ too? Oh, wow.
Well.
Wow.
I can't remember any. I don't want to bring up TJ Holmes because I don't really remember any comments that TJ Holmes. He never left an impression.
It wasn't the fact that it wasn't the fact that TJ Holmes made comments. It was the fact that what Lavinia was saying was they don't look black enough, and I don't mean.
Yeah, they're kind of feminine, kind of guy. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Not even that. It's just that they're light skinned and they're not enough. They're not quite Ed Gordon. They're not quite black enough
right.
to fit those channels.
Well, I meant that not in calling them gay. I'm just saying that it was kind
of
like...
Well, one of them is,
black,
but that's not beside the point.
Yeah, but black masculinity scares major media, right? And so Ed Gordon, who sat up in front of that desk, I think that was the biggest injustice that you can actually have on TV as far as an anchor is concerned. He's like Bernard Shaw. Mm-hmm. I remember when Ed Gordon was on, I kept saying... He is the future of Anchor News, and he never really got a long stint at NBC. He never – I don't know what it was. BET
he was
switched
too,
their format.
Because he was too black.
Exactly. You
see,
would
when
think
when you're too – and then those networks purposely lured him away from BET because they were looking right. at – BET at the time was looking to do some stronger news programs and segments. So they snatched him away. And then when you snatch him away, when you start chasing dollars, and then you go over there and you work, I worked in white media, they will bury you.
And they definitely did
you.
That. Speaking of that, one of our reporters and strong contributors, my girl, I won't say her name, worked at CNN, and she told me a bunch, she was a producer at CNN, and she told me a bunch of stories about when they would take news stories off that had black or Latino, like kind of angles on them. The news director was saying, "We're not saying those stories." Like CNN, you would think that because you see black faces there, that they actually do news in a way that's balanced to minorities. They were just as racist as everybody else. I happen to think that they're just as bad as everybody else, or worse, because they get you to believe that they're safe. That's bad. Fox News don't play. They don't like black folks on Fox, and they don't even act like it. Like they're just
Well, this weekend I looked at Fox for about 5 minutes. They had the black comedian on there. I did. I have to check on my network I worked at every once in a while. But they had a segment on with this black comedian. They were talking about world events. I couldn't. Sheldon, what's that dude's name? I can't remember the dude's name. But he's always on VH1 talking about the 80s and 90s with the ashy lips.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, they had him on. Okay. I was like, what is Fox trying to do now? But, you know, I can't stand Fox no longer than 5 minutes or my TV will blow up.
Hey, exactly. I don't think my TV gets Fox, but that's just me. I hear a lot of people talk about it. I get Fox, the one that I can watch, like, Arsenio or the Old and Living Color on. Like, that Fox, Married with Children, I got that station Fox, but I did not get Fox News as a network. I don't watch that.
Well,
and they don't even pretend to be news.
On, guess who is who works at Fox now? Who's, you know, back in the 80s and 90s was pretty popular. Remember the Rose Show or Rolanda?
Yes, Rolanda.
Yeah. Oh, I can't remember her last name, but yeah, she works at Fox now. I think that's why I watched it for maybe 2 minutes. I was like, hey, that's Rolanda.
Rolanda Watts.
Rolanda. Rolanda Watts, she had a talk show. James Brown girl.
James Brown girl. That was Tresh girl. That was
Hill girl. Okay, I think that means we're going to go to commercial. No. We're going to have to cut for that.
I won't tell you what we used to call Rolanda back in the day.
No, sir.
Miss Rolanda.
This is why, we called her Miss Rolanda back in the days.
Whatever. Snoop, Dre, and Nate Dogg made a song. It ain't no fun.
Okay, listen. All right, on that note, we're going to get some Slick Rick because I need to mute Finesse. Hold on. We're going to mute Finesse. Now, we got to take a quick break. I know we talked about bullying a little bit and what happened at Nottingham, but I actually have a clip from Arsenio Hall show. I don't know if you guys saw George Wallace, who was on Arsenio Hall. Did you guys see that program?
Yeah, when we talked about the woman in the leopard's dress.
Okay, no, I didn't see that part. But Vanessa is always pulling up a little something special. But we have George Wallace on there, and also Terry Crews. You know, Terry Crews, you know, played college football. He played pro football for a little bit. But Terry Crews was on there as well, and I was going to play the George Wallace. We may play it a little bit later. But and Terry Crews, he talked about bullying and bullying in the NFL. I didn't ask you about this, Finesse, but what do you think about that Incognito story, where the Miami Dolphin
story?
Okay, see, you was going to go there. But the Miami Dolphin player who was light complexion, black kid, parents went to Harvard, he went to Stanford, and he was bullying him, saying that he would kill his family and his sister and called them the N-word. And a lot of the black players on the team kept saying, it's just like he's black, to the white guy who was bullying the black guy who quit the team. So
I have mixed thoughts on the whole thing, because I think there's a lot of lies going on both sides. But I will say this. There is no such thing as an honorary white boy. And my good friend Bill Myers, and I relate this boy even to him, I had to punch him in his mouth because he thought it was okay to say that
you
word
can't use
because
the N-word.
He hung around us.
Yeah, you just can't do that. That's just way
too. Who can't use the N-word?
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't care what happens, is that no matter what culture you are, you cannot go around Italians and then call them names, even if they call
exactly
each other that. I don't call women the B-word just because
that
I see a woman
exactly
call another woman
and
that.
Can I weigh in from
not
a woman's perspective? So,
go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah. And nothing against sororities and fraternities, but this reminds me of why I probably didn't play. I almost did. But this kind of reminds me of why I did, and this is just from my experience. In the case of Incognito, and whatever his name is, to me, I understand the whole hazing. I don't agree with it, but I understand the whole hazing thing in football and fraternity, sorority, so forth. But there's got to be a line drawn. At some point, what it looked like to me is Incognito didn't have enough going on in his own life, or he had a crush on Martin. Because how sad is your
maybe
life that you I'm seriously starting to wonder, there was something about, he was like single white male. What is it about Martin that you concentrated so much on this man? I think either it was some hateration that this young man's parents, you know, they were well-educated. He was well-educated. He came from a background, a good background. Either Incognito had a crush on him or he had some hateration for him. Because at some point, when do you get a life that you're not thinking, why is he thinking about this man after hours on the weekends? You threaten his family. It was almost like an obsession. That's how you can tell. And my girlfriend told me this when she played. That's how you can always tell who don't have a man or a woman, because all they do is mess with the pledges.
Yeah.
That's all they do day and night. You can always tell who has a woman, who doesn't. That's the first thing I thought when I heard about this case. He obviously doesn't have someone significant in his life.
I thought that maybe there was a secret. They were secretly seeing each other. I'm not going to lie, because it didn't sound right. But after watching the interview with Incognito yesterday and seeing the text messages, there's one thing I can say, that I think Martin is lying to a degree, because Martin has done something similar when he was in college. There were some issues with him, mental stability-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I think he and Cognito were friends, and you know how you text message, you never delete messages. And I think he was looking for a way out. It's all going to come to light, but Incognito, I look at him in a different light. The one thing I did not like is that other black players, and Shannon Sharpe has said this, Ray Lewis has said this, Michael Irvin, Deion Sanders has said, all have said the same thing. This kind of stuff happens in the locker room. But what you don't have, we're going to chin check you. If you think you can use the N-word, you're going to get chin checked, and you ain't going to never say it again. Because racism does exist in the locker room. There are things said. Let's not even front about that. You know, it is done, it is said. But if you allow it to happen, and that's where I have my beef with these black players. If it comes out that you allow him to have that, I have no respect for any of the black players on that team.
But
you
then I heard a lot of the players saying, too, he should have nipped it in the bud the first time by just, you know, resorting to physical combat with him. But this is this man's job. Why does he have to come to work to fight and come to work and be not only harassed but threatened? I understand the whole testosterone thing, slapping us, each other on the butt, all that stuff. But at some point, this is my job, and you're harassing me. And, you know, no matter what happened before then, at some point, you got to stop. He's like a freaking stalker.
Let me tell you something. Martin is way better than, way bigger than Incognito. He should have knocked his lights off, and that would have been the end of that.
So that means he got to come to work to fight. No.
Yeah, you know,
but it's a different culture in football. It's stuff that happens behind closed doors, the fights that
when,
we don't hear about. We just happen to hear.
Yeah, when you're rookies, you get hazed too. So we're talking
right.
about
yeah,
a
why,
bunch
why
of stuff
is,
where
right.
other players were turning their back and not even paying him any attention because he was just a rookie. So they were just letting him treat
right.
him how he wanted to. And plus, it came down that the coaches told Incognito, I was about to say what you just said, Finesse, told him
Incognito,
to toughen him
Incognito.
Up. Right, told him to toughen him up, and he's been released from like four different teams. So he got some issues as
yeah.
well.
Apparently his mental impairment, he might need to take some medication because he needs some anger management. But
well, they
really?
Both do, but they both were supposedly, if you
don't
if
blame
you watch
both
them,
of them.
If you read the whole thing. No, I did not. I said,
you
I was
watch,
gonna say
yeah,
that the
watch.
No, I was not. I did not. The players
okay.
have said that they two were best friends.
Right. And
they said they were
has.
Best friends.
Okay, you know what this sounds like, though? You know what this sounds like? And I'm sorry for watching a lot of Lifetime when it first came
girlfriend?
On. No, it sounds like when somebody has an abusive relationship and the guy says, oh, no, we tight, and the other person is scared to say that you're getting
right.
abused. So you try to play
yeah.
like your friends so that it doesn't appear that you're weak, like you're getting abused.
Yeah.
So Helsinki
I mean,
syndrome
have.
Will happen where you start identifying too much with your captors by thinking that that's friendship and love that somebody's messing with you. It's like, I would only mess with you if I liked you, so he must like him. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So we
yeah.
don't know what's
like
going on.
You know, when we're in elementary school and you know how y'all were, y'all like the girl. You pull her hair. You
and pull
know.
Her hair?
Yeah, you pull her hair.
I thought that was a rule. I still do that. I mean, I don't know more. As much. I just,
it's kind of like one of those
sorry.
Things. You keep bugging the guy. What do you like him? What is it? I don't get it. This would never happen
well,
with women. I know that. Oof. All that testosterone.
Well, I don't know. Women like to torment your girlfriend when they like you. So that's a whole nother story. We're not going to talk about that. All right. You listen to the Black on Black Crime with Kai, Finesse, and Lavinia. Right now, we're going to take a break and listen to Terry Crews. He's going to talk about the bullying part of Incognito this past week on Arsenio. So I just want to play that to let you guys get a listen to Terry Crews on Arsenio.
I always talk about current events at the top of the show. Let's continue that vein.
Yes.
Because you played football, and yesterday I was joking a lot about Richie Incognito and the craziness that went on in Miami. You're familiar with the story, right?
Totally.
He
totally.
Was, okay, you talk about it.
You know, have you ever been with a bunch of friends and then you know, they're laughing and everybody's laughing the whole thing, but then you realize they're laughing at you?
Mm.
This is what happened with Jonathan Martin. That's what happened with him. Everybody's like, well, he said he was a friend and they were hanging out and the whole thing, but what happened? Well, he didn't know the joke was on him.
Oh, okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, but you're a big guy.
Yeah.
Were you ever bullied?
Yes, when I played in the NFL,
right.
I got bullied.
Right.
I got bullied straight up. I had a coach that
yeah.
bullied me nonstop. Because you got to understand, the NFL is like jail with money. It really is.
Wow.
No, you got to
wow.
understand, there's a culture, total culture of intimidation, humiliation, and violence
mm-hmm.
that makes you, you know, they try to keep you in control because
right.
they know you want to do it. But the thing is the moment the NFL doesn't have control over you anymore,
right.
is when you realize, I can walk away.
Yeah.
And that's what he realized. That's what blew me away. And everybody's vilifying this guy,
yeah.
and they're running around. But you know what? The same thing is, you're being abused. I don't care what job you're doing. I don't care what friends you're around, whatever. You can always choose to leave.
Right.
You can choose to make that decision. So let me tell you something. There's more to life than football.
Right.
The trick was, for me, they
yeah.
tried to make me think that that's all there was. The listen, the coach called me Tyrone. And I said, hey, coach, my name is Terry. He was like, no, I like Tyrone. I'm going to call you Tyrone. He called me Tyrone the whole camp, nonstop. And then he would zip through my film. Every time I do something good, it doesn't matter. He's not going to be here. And he would say that in front of everybody. And then I said, you know what, maybe this is a trick. You know, I got to be tough. I got to be tough. Let me just, you know, and maybe he's trying to toughen me up. And you know what happened? He cut me. And let me tell you what happened. When I got cut and I realized I let this man call me Tyrone, I let this man play games in front of everybody, I had visions of going back and doing something really, really bad. Mm-hmm. Now, first of all, I'm going to tell you something. NFL players, they're not that stable. Okay?
Okay.
Jonathan Martin made the right decision.
Right.
Because if he'd have came back in that locker room and did something bad, it'd been in the news, and everybody would have been like, oh, these players, what happened? He did the smart move. He got away. But I remember sitting, my wife will tell you, I was fantasizing like, I got to get this dude. I can't let him get away with that.
Yeah.
And you know what? All of a sudden, something God told me, he said, man, relax. I got something bigger for you. I got something bigger for you. And I remember just sitting there wanting to get revenge, wanting to do, and I said, you know, I got to move on. I got to move on. It was hard, man.
I know.
It was hard to do.
I know.
But when you've been bullied, when you've been that in that position,
yeah,
you don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? You're just like freaking out. And that was my experience. And thank God, look at me right now. I am on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And, you know, I'm glad that I listened. I'm glad my wife told me. My wife was always telling me, you know, I mean, you got to listen to your girl. You got to listen to her. Because she, yes, I'm a priest. You got to listen to your woman because she will tell you the real. And she was like, baby, God's got something else for you. Mm-hmm. You got more talent than this. It's not the end of the world. You got to keep going. And I was like, But I'm okay. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
So your wife's been around forever with you, bro.
24 years. 24 years now. 24 years.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. That was Terry Crews on Arsenio talking about the NFL, the culture in the NFL, and what was going on with him. Kai, what do you think about Terry Crews' words?
I loved it. It was so passionate, and I totally agree. You know, you let you're not careful, you let one person's actions determine your future. And just think if he had gone back and stooped to that coach's level. Wonder where that coach is now, though.
He should have called them out, because Finesse would have called them out.
Yeah. I found very passionate the way he was telling that story. I agree.
I don't know. Finesse, what do you think about Terry Crews and his comments about what happened?
I got to get me a white woman.
And first of all, she's not white, you nut. All right. Go ahead.
Curly.
Muted.
He said he had a good woman. He didn't say anything about her race, you nut.
Oh, I thought he said he had to get a white woman. 24 years to support.
Okay, Lavinia, because I need to put Finesse on mute. It's getting towards the end of the show. You know how Finesse get. You know, we got to play a game of black and white in a minute. Go ahead.
I appreciate what he put out there. And, I mean, what he was saying was exactly what I've been thinking. I mean, everybody's been get a hard time for walking away. It's like, well, if he'd allowed himself to get pushed to a level where he broke this dude's neck, then he'd have had a problem, you know?
Right.
The way I feel about it is everything is fun and games until it's not fun and games, right? So,
right.
You know, I don't know what his relationship with Incognito's relationship with everybody else was, but there's another dynamic added when you have this big, burly white man calling you the N-word and talking down to you, like, you know, I mean,
and threatening to kill your family.
Not put up with it. Yeah, nobody will put up with that with anybody off the street, right? And I understand that the NFL has a totally different culture, but they are not exempt from, you know, racial boundaries, or they shouldn't be. And these black players have said, okay, well, this is all right. And this is what really upset me, is that they're saying, well, how come he didn't just punch the guy in the mouth? From what I understand, he was also kind of ostracized by the other black players on the team. So if this guy, Incognito, is cool with all the other vets on the team, and this young man punched him in the mouth, who's to say that there wouldn't have been an all-out brawl and he wouldn't have got beat down? Like, where was he? He had no support. Where was his support system? You would think that some of the older black players on the team who had been there would have been there to support him and lift him up and help him develop, become a better and stronger player instead of letting some white dude push him around. Like, that is something that I can't even understand why that would be acceptable in the locker room.
The only thing I would say is his rookie year, if you go back, because he's only been in the league, this is his second year, I believe. Well, he's going his second year. I understand the rookie haze and all that stuff that happens. And that happened. You know, none of the players have your back. I just don't think there's enough. We don't know the whole story, so we can only comment on what this one says or that one says. We kind of got a whole piece when Ed Cognito said what he said yesterday. So we have to wait. In my opinion, I think everybody got to wait and see. As far as what Terry Crews says, what he's speaking at, from what he's speaking at from the standpoint of what he went through, I understand that, and it does happen. So people have to decide. But I don't know everything that happened. I hear what Martin says, but we're hearing through Martin's representative. We're hearing different players say,
okay,
well, those two are good friends going to the second year. So we don't know, and I don't want to speculate until we hear the whole thing. That's just me.
But even if Martin walked up and punched him square in the nose, what I'm saying is, at some point, it becomes your place of employment. If it was any other situation and this kind of thing was going on where someone's threatening your family and calling you out of your name and all of this stuff, at some point, someone has to be held accountable. This is this man, not only probably his dream since childhood, this is his place of employment, and there's got to be some kind of accountability on the part of Incognito, unless Martin was doing the same exact thing. And even then, if Cognito...
And they showed the text messages of that last night. They did show the text messages.
You know what, Finesse, because you're defending him. Let me say this.
No, I'm not.
They did show.
No, I'm not defending him at all.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
What you're saying is we need more information to decipher what happened. Here's what I saw. And I did see the film. I did see the film where Incognito is dancing around with black folks at some pool hall using the N-word and acting like he was down with everybody. I saw all of that. We know that he got fired from at least four teams. We don't know the stories behind that, but we can say that it didn't happen to do with him being stable. We know that on Miami Dolphins, he's a part of the leadership committee that even if Martin wanted to complain, he was on the committee that decides what's going on with the other players. And those players, before those text messages were released, before the video was released, all of them dudes was defending that dude. And so even we found out later that the general manager got a call from Martin's agent a few weeks prior, and the general manager said to the agent, well, he should just punch him in the mouth. That's what the general manager, that's why he got suspended, because he told the agent to tell Martin if he does that, he should have punched him in the mouth. So regardless of us finding out any more information.
Why does he have to leave something that he likes because they didn't handle an unruly employee?
Because your workplace environment is hostile.
Because of workplace environment. Exactly. So now he's got to lose a job that he's worked probably all his life for because you got some idiot who doesn't know what boundaries are. And you're right, Finesse.
We don't need to know all of that, is my point.
Wait a minute.
We don't need to know.
No, you do.
That dude was starting in the NFL.
Here's why I say that.
He created a hostile environment, and he needs to be disciplined. Right.
Then Martin's also
I don't believe that dude for one second. I don't believe him for one second. It's Finesse.
They
show them how after
you
the fact. Okay, so
it's not after the fact.
Like, at some point, listen, have you ever been in a workplace where somebody says something to you and they just went a little too far? You thought you was friends for a minute, and y'all started exchanging, and you're like, well, wait a minute, right? That could have happened. He was still a young kid trying to fit in with the veterans. So he may have tried to play along just to act like he was cool with them, right? It is almost like saying when we look at all these cases where the teachers are improperly doing something to the kids, we say that they are unduly influencing them because they're young in the head. That's why those laws are written like that. In this case, that dude was young.
You still can't say that because you don't know. Because the issue, what I'm saying to you is this. people are saying that they were best friends, that they hung out. Those two, not the rest of the team, those two, that them and their families hung out. So if they go back, sort of like what me and Terrell may go
wait,
back.
How good is your friend?
Wait.
No. How good is your friend to make you spend $15,000 on an event that you're not even going to? What kind of threat is that as a friend? I don't care if you believe somebody's
you know
your friend. If your friend is extorting money, that's out.
If the roles
because
were reversed, at some point when it starts becoming uncomfortable, it's like Eddie Murphy said, when playtime is over, playtime is over. That means quit playing. You play too much.
Right.
So if it got to
and you can't go back and say we were friends before.
Right. If the roles were reversed and it was Martin doing
but we
that,
don't,
and
we,
not, you know,
here's the thing,
Martin
we don't know.
Before it got to us, some point it must have been a build-up before he walked out. At some point Incognito had to know, okay, he had to have said something to let him know it's getting to the point where it's getting uncomfortable. I don't think he just came to work one day and said, okay, he said the wrong thing, I'm leaving. I think the teammates had to have seen that too, unless they were blind. At some point, when do you stop playing? You know, seriously,
right.
You play
right.
too much. You know, stop playing. It's
right.
getting uncomfortable. Stop playing. Okay, enough is enough. And it looked like if Incognito hadn't been exposed, he still would be doing the same thing. He just don't get it. Or he does get it and doesn't care. That's the part I'm trying to understand. Why were you not understanding that you play too much? You see the woman.
Right.
That's great.
All right. I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to the Black on Black Crime on this show. We have talked about MSNBC contributor Goldie Taylor, the stop and frisk comments from Don Lemon. We also had a discussion about Boyce Watkins and his blog about dark and light skint again. Now we're talking about the Miami Dolphins saga that I'm not going to get into anymore, but if you want to check it out, check it on the archives. There's plenty to follow up on that discussion. And you can write us at bobc@solasyracuse.com or go on our Facebook page, BOBC Show, and give us your comments there. If I don't like them, I'm probably going to delete them, but I just want to tell you that up front, because Finesse.
If you got something else to say, you can come see me at 2513 North Charles Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21218.
All right. Now, we're going to play a really quick game of black and white because I know how I had a couple more topics that we're going to talk about. In entertainment news, in Angela Bassett news, by the way, this is for Lavinia and Kai. In Angela Bassett news, FX has ordered its fourth season of American Horror Story, and with their new cast additions, Angela Bassett and Kathy Bates, they are very likely to return, and that's according to one of the producers on the show. That show has 7.74 million total viewers per episode. It outpaces last year by 83% in total viewers since Angela Bassett's
been there.
That's
because they added Angela. That's why. They added
that's
Angela
right.
Bassett.
That's what did it.
Yep.
I still
see,
haven't
so
seen
I just,
it.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix
and
like the
I've
next
it.
Day.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's in high demand. I feel like they got 7 million.
Speaking of Angela Bassett, she's going to be in the new holiday movie, Black Nativity.
I want to see that. That looks like a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love
all right,
Angela
speaking
Bassett.
Of Yeah, don't we all? Before we get out of here, I just wanted to do a little news before we end the show. I think we should do a little black and white since Finesse want to act up. I can give him something to act up with.
You didn't learn from the last previous weeks? I got the mailman right,
think,
and I still got muted. I don't understand.
Yeah, apparently none of us learned from the last couple of weeks with Finesse or last couple of years with Finesse that sometimes Finesse is going to show out.
But I was right last week, and I still got muted.
That's
on the
okay.
mailman.
I got
okay,
shut down last week.
Okay, yeah, she made me hit the outro music last week. That was Lavinia.
Go ahead, Lavinia. You learning from me, girl. Go ahead. When I'm not here, I can trust you. Thank you.
Well, okay, Kai, here's what happened. I did on Black or White about a mailman who was delivering mail, saw a fire, put out the fire. He used a garden hose, helped a woman out of her house with her pets and stuff, put out the fire. When the fire trucks came, he actually continued to do his mail route. And I just asked, was he black or white? And Finesse inappropriately said, well, ain't no white people in Detroit, so he had to be black. See, that
no, I didn't say it
black
Detroit. I said, ain't no, I did not. I said, ain't no
I
white people delivering mail in Detroit. That's what I said.
Oh, you
get
did.
It right.
You did say, You did say they weren't delivering mail in Detroit. Yeah.
Ain't no, and they not. That's how I got that question
and
right.
And that's
he made me look
well,
at Detroit
why you
totally
got it right.
differently.
And that's why he got flagged on that. All right. So,
but I, and I was right.
Okay, he was right.
Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, on. If you're not familiar, Black or White is where we talk about a news story, and we're going to go around the table with Finesse, Lavinia, and Kai and ask which person in this particular story is, if they're Black or White. So I just want to be clear that it may not be as obvious at first. So a petroleum station employee, a gas station employee, is suspended after she refused to hand over cash to an armed robber. Now, the man came into the store, brought some beer, then handed the woman a note, and she said, I started to read it, and I didn't want anyone to get hurt, and take the money in the drawer, put it in the bag, and give it to me, is what the note said. Then he lifted up his shirt and showed the gun, but the attendant said, she looked at him, and she said no. He grinned at me and walked out of the store after he got his purchase and left. Now, was not the robber, but was the person who refused to give him the money, was she Black or White? So I'll go with Finesse first. No, I'm going to go with Finesse last. Kai, was the gas station attendant Black or White?
Oh, that's a confusing one. She was either an older white lady or a middle-aged Black lady.
You got to get your anger management stuff down. You're like, who was it? All right. The gas station attendant said no. And she got suspended, by the way, for saying no.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay,
oh, it's
say,
the gas station
I'm
policy.
Say,
you're supposed to just give them the money and bounce.
I'm going to say a Black.
Cause,
you're
going to say, go ahead. You're going to say what?
I'm reluctantly saying a Black woman.
Okay, Kai's going with Black. Lavinia, was the woman Black or White?
I originally was going to go with White, but with more information, I'm thinking she was Black.
Okay. Finesse, was she Black or White?
I'm going to explain why she was Black. She probably knew that
See,
was peanut from around the corner. She probably knew it was peanut from around the corner, so she gave that fool like, no, I ain't giving you no money. I ain't about to lose my job when I got to feed my kids. And so she was Black.
Okay. I want to say you're all wrong. It was, except for Kai, it was an older white woman. She was suspended because she wouldn't give up the cash. And the suspect who robbed the station was white, too. Yes.
Oh,
that's the wrong one.
The fact that he just left is what made me think that she was Black.
He's smiled at her left, which makes you think that might have been his. That would make you think that might have been his grandmother. Like, he might have knew her.
Yeah, she probably knew him.
Yeah. See, Finesse thought he was Black because he might have knew, like, he might have knew her. But no, the woman, the guy smiled at the woman and then left. So, all right. So here's our other one.
Was he just
now,
playing?
Again,
he's like, oh, okay, I'm just playing. Was it a real robbery? Or was he, I don't know. I'm starting to think the gas station was setting that up or something to see what she was doing.
Like an episode of the Boondocks when they was pretending to rob the place.
Hey,
but I tell you right
convenient.
Now. I'm gonna say, I tell you right now, I work in the pharmacy, and they used to tell us all the time, you know, if something, you push the button. Let me tell you, ain't none of this mine. You come up here with a gun, say you want it, you can have all of it. I'm opening the gate, I'm unlocking the boxes, you can have every narcotic, every T2, you can have the money, whatever you want. I ain't risking nothing that ain't belong to me. Exactly. They'd be like, give me your money. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
I'd be like, Kiki, what's your number? Swing over this register. He want all of it.
Hey.
He wants yours too.
The video would be like paper or plastic. What would you like your money
know,
in? I can't
let me help you walk
into
your car. You need help with that? You need a car?
That is a shame.
Kiki, don't all be right.
Fun. You pick up
we need
soda.
That key.
Man. All right, so here's another one. Now, a husband and wife. Now, this one is going to be a little confusing, maybe. A husband and wife are facing federal charges for allegedly bank robbing spree that expanded over two states. Now, the two accused of robbing 13 banks in Florida and two in Alabama. Now, the authorities say, first of all, I have to tell you, one of the two in the couple, one was black and one was white. The married couple, one was black and one was white. So, the authorities say that they used disguises and notes to demand money. Investigators say the robbery followed the pattern. The couple allegedly used gloves, Afro-style wigs, and demanded demand notes written on yellow index cards. So, again, they used Afro wigs. The couple had a baby 10 days after the first bank robbery. Now, man and a woman, black or white, I'm going to give you the woman. What do you think the woman was? They went on a two-state
white
robbing spree.
White.
13 blanks in
Very
Florida.
White.
White.
Alabama. Okay, Lavinia.
Wait a second. We have a baby. We ain't leaving the house for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
we don't take no baby outside.
Black.
You don't take no baby outside.
She's black. She's black. That white man would do anything for sunshine.
You're not dragging a sister's car to the state robbing banks after she had a baby.
We got bills and stuff to do, and we are not putting on a super Afro wig.
A fake Afro? Parish, yeah, we got stuff to do.
She was black, and it was like Harlem Nights. She got him to do whatever she wanted.
That is so mean. Kai, what did you say? Now, was she black or white?
I said she is very white. Either very white or very brainwashed black. We have stuff to do.
Okay.
We ain't got time to be robbing banks. And
okay.
Wearing an Afro
so,
wig, how insulting. Mm.
So Kai said that she was white. Lavinia said that she was white, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you said
she's white.
Finesse said she was black.
I sure did.
The guy was black and the woman was white. Lavinia
exactly.
was right. It was 10 days after she had a baby. This would have gave it away. Now, they had the robberies netted about $54,000, the first couple of robberies, which is not enough money to go robbing banks. But one is being held without bail, and the other has a bond hearing. So if I gave it to you this way and tell you that the man was being held without bail and the other one was given a bond hearing, the woman, you would know that the woman was white.
Or
she's being held with no bail, but they letting her go because they're going to say that he kidnapped her.
Can you just imagine that conversation that a black man goes to a black woman and said, we're going to rob a bank, put these Afro
wigs on. She's like,
when
I'm pregnant.
And I know you had a baby. Exactly. Yeah.
I know you had a baby. I'm just saying, we need this money. So they just kind of went at it and kind of threw that out there. But Finesse,
I feel sorry because they fooled around in Florida robbing banks. It's a rat.
Yeah, I think they got caught in Alabama. I don't know which one's better, but they got caught in.
They got caught in
Alabama.
He gonna get a charge for luring a white woman into robbing a bank. They gonna write her.
Hey,
her speech for her.
Hey, it is the South, so I don't know if those laws are still on the books that you can't transport a white woman across state lines, but if that's there,
in Florida, it's still on the books.
It probably is.
It might be.
So all you folks that's in an interracial relationship and you move to Florida.
Don't cross state lines. Just get married in Florida. Because if you cross, you go across state lines. Yeah, those laws were put there that if you take somebody of another race across state lines, mainly you own black people. So if there was white folks that you took across state lines, you got that was a charge that they can charge you with.
Is that for real?
Well, even in Florida,
I don't think
it's
there
still
anymore,
against the law. In Florida, it's still a law that you still can't interracially get married. It's still on the books.
Yeah, I think what happens with laws, they don't ever repeal laws. They just put a law over it. So it's probably still on the books, and they probably say that they can't enforce it because of A, B, and C, and D, if they're willing or if whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
So they
in
probably
Florida. Yeah, how that work out in that one case.
Oh, man. All right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Join us again next week. With more, we have Kai, Finesse, Lavinia. Thanks for joining. If I could ever get a hold of Kai, we are going to do conversations and yell. So we're going to do a conversation show again soon. All right, people.
Conversation.
We'll check you out
yeah.
next.
What?
We're going to yell, and we're going to probably, luckily we don't do flags on conversations. We do finesse.
What else is new? I haven't had a flag in months, so I'm good.
You are good. That's true. All right, and you know Lavinia is she feels a little partial, so she's not throwing flags on finesse. Lavinia, I checked the chat room. She didn't say finesse needs a flag.
No, that's all I do.
She just mutes. That's Miss Muted.
Oh, that's all right. She hit mute finesse today, so that's good.
I tried.
All right. You did. All right, we'll check you again next week on Black on Black Cry. Check y'all out.
Peace.